Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the last five words on the Amud. Says the Gemara, who gavra, they have a komazvin chumri pischaisa. There was a person that was selling buttons, glass beads, asai hi etisa, and there was this woman that came and amalei and said to him, havli chad shaycha, give me one string of these beads. Amla. So he said to her, if I give this to you, bekatchli, will you agree to marry me? Amla, she responded, Hav mahavu, just please give it to me. Says Rav Chama, call Hav mahavu, when such a wording is used, laf klumhu, and it doesn't in any way represent that she agreed to marry him. Similar case. Who gavra dava koshasi chama b'chanusa? There was a person who was drinking wine in a shop. Also he itisa amalei, there was a woman that came to him and said to him, havli chad kasa, please give me one drink of wine. Amalei, he said to her, iyahavnalach, if I give you mekachli, will you agree to marry me? Amalei, she said to him, ashkuya mashkin, just give me to drink. Again, Amar Rav Chama, call Ashke Ashkuyan, whenever such a terminology is used, Laf Klumhu, it doesn't represent a Kedushin. A third and final incident. Hu Gavra Dav Kashadi Tamim Bidikla. There was a man who was throwing down dates from a palm tree. Also he hit Amalei, and there was a woman that came to him and said to him, Shteli Tarti, can you give me two of those dates? Amalei, he said to her, Ishtinalach, if I give them to you, Mekachli, will you agree to marry me? Amr Shtei Mishda, you just throw them on, give them to me. Amr Azrid, call Shadi Mishda, whenever such a wording is used, Laf Klumhu, it doesn't represent a Kedushin. And Tysus points out, the reason the Gemara had to bring three incidents that are seemingly identical, Taisu says the reason the Gemara brings them down is to teach us that this din applies both by food, by drink, and by other things. The same din applies in all situations. There is a fundamental machlokes rishonim why in this situation we don't have a kedushin. The Ravid and the Rosh hold because it was she who initiated the conversation. The Rajba says the reason is because there is no indication here that she's interested in Kedushin. And what is the nafkamina, la halacha, between the opinion of the Ravid and Rosh versus the Rajba? According to the Ravid and Rosh, if he would have been the one to initiate the conversation, she would have been the Kedushas, because as they explain, and actually Tosfos says the same, the whole point is here that she's Soimich Adibura Harishit, she's relying on her original comments, but here it wasn't she who made the original comment. However, according to the Rajba, the point in this Gemara is that we don't see from her any indication that she's ready to get married, and therefore it makes no difference if he or she initiated the conversation, since we don't see any real indication that she's prepared to get married, the Kedusha will not be a Kedusha. Another nafkamina would be if she initiated the conversation and then he picked up on the conversation, but it's clear she said, I'm agreeable to get married. According to the Rajba, she would be married, because once we have a clear indication that she's prepared to get married, says the Rajba, she's married. However, according to the Ravid and Rosh, that whenever we're dealing with a situation that she initiated the conversation, we don't have a Kedushin, it makes no difference if we see that she indicates she's interested in Kedushin or not, we will not have a Kedushin here. Says the Gemara. In all of the incidents that our Gemara just quoted, there was a double expression used. Hav mahava ashki ashkuyin. Ibrahuhu. So they asked, have the ask you Shadi Mahu. What would be if she didn't use that double expression? What would be the din? I'm Ravina. Ravina says Mekudeshes. This would clearly indicate that she's agreeable to the Kedushin. Of Sarabak, so I'm Togged Malka, I swear by the king, Eina Mekudeshes, that even under such circumstances, she would not be Mekudeshes. And indeed, says the Gemara Baruch, so the halach is that in such a situation, Eina Mekudeshes. There's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand this expression of Togged Malka. Some rishonim explain Togged Malka means that she swore, it means Hashem's name. He's swearing by Hashem that in this case the halacha is Eina Mekudeshes. Another pshat that the Rashba suggests is that Togged Malka means that even if we're a situation where he was offering her the king's crown on the condition that she accept his Kedushin, still the Kedushin will not be a Kedushin. And yet a third pshat, which is actually a pshat that most Rishonim suggest, that Togged Malka means that he swore by the king's crown. And from here we see, explained the Paiskim, the Shas Tshuva's Torah Lishma, that when one swears by the name of the government, one has to be extremely careful that the shvua should be an honest shvua, because Agamar clearly shows us that that was the way they expressed shvuas in those times. Says the Gemara, Hilchos of the Halach is Shiroi Leitzrucha Shuma. We learned in the previous staff the opinion of Rava, who said that if someone gives silk material to women for Kedushin, Leitzrucha Shuma, there is no need for it to be evaluated for its value, and the Kedushin is a Kedushin. Taisus asks that why does the Gemara use the wording the Hilchos of Shuma? Why didn't the Gemara just say, as it actually does say in a moment regarding other issues, Hilchos Karava? For Tosfos says, even though we will suggest that the rule that we say throughout Shas, that Hilchos Karava, says Tosfos, perhaps only applies in Masechta Baba Basra, and when I learn Masechta Baba Basra, still, the Gemara could have just said, Hilchos Karava. Why does the Gemara say Hilchasa Shiroi Leitzrucha Shuma? And because of this, Taisa says that if the Gemara would have just said Hilchasa Karava, one would think that any expensive item given doesn't need to be assessed. Therefore, says the Gemara, specifically Shiroi, specifically silk material Leitzrucha Shuma, any other material, any other expensive item does require evaluation. And in fact, Taisus says that is the reason why our custom is that when we kaddish an isha, we don't give her a ring with a stone, because the stone requires evaluation. She may think that the stone in the ring is actually more valuable than the stone really is, and therefore our minhag is that we don't give her a stone, because it's only by silk garments we have this special din that Leitzrucha Shuma. In Mefarshim explain, Rambam explains the reason why silk garments are different. The Rambam says because that's something a woman always wants, or they are, that's the way Rambam explains. Other Rishonim explain that women were fairly familiar with the value of silk, and that's why silk doesn't require Shuma. Other items that they weren't so familiar with their value do require an assessment. And that is why this is the basis for our minute that we taka don't use a ring with a stone to Mekadosh and Isha. And furthermore, the Paiskim say this is the basis for another of the two other minhagim that we follow under the chuppah. One meaning is that we know that the face of the kala is covered during the chuppah. The reason being that she should not see the ring, and if she sees the ring, she'll start assuming that she's becoming miskadeshes based on the value of the ring. So she doesn't see the ring, so she doesn't have any expectations. Furthermore, the minhag is that the Masada Kedushin turns around to the Edom and asks the Edom, is this ring worth a pruta? Now, it's fairly obvious that the ring is worth a pruta. Why does the Masada Kedushin have to ask the Edom if they're worth a pruta? The answer is because we want that the Kalah should hear that the ring is only worth a pruta, and she's still accepting the Kedushin under even for that pruta, and she doesn't have an expectation that the ring is worth any more. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Vilchus Rabbi Elazar, Baruch follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who holds, as we learned in the previous shiur, that if somebody tells a woman, become Kodesh to me with a mana, and he only gave her a dinner of that mana, the halacha is that the Kedushin is a Kedushin, provided that he pays the rest of the money that he owes her. That in a case where a man says to a woman, become a Kodesh to me with a mana, and he gave her collateral for the mana, that is not considered a Kedushin. Tanabam, Bishtar Ketzat, how does Kedusha Shtar work? Kosov Na'ala, Na'ala Chos, if he wrote on a piece of paper, on a purse of earthenware. And Tosus immediately asks, but we learned in Masechta Ksubis that one cannot write a shtar on earthenware, for earthenware is yochel as daif. Earthenware can easily be forged. So why does our Brisa teach us that kedushin, shtar kedushin, could be written on cheres? So first Tosfos suggests, as we learned in Masechta Gittin, a machlokes of Elazar and Rameya, if eidei mesira karati or eidei chesima karati. Says Tosfos, our Brisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that Eidei Mesira Karati, the main thing is the Eidim who see this document being transmitted, and therefore the halachas about the document itself aren't that critical. But then Tosfos wants to suggest that even according to our mayor, we can use for Shtar Kedushin a cheres, even though Tziyach was daif. Because Tosfos explains there are two types of shtaros. There are shtaros that affect a transaction, like the shtaros that we're discussing, a get, a shtar kedushin, and there are shtaros that are here l'raya. They're here to bear testimony that a certain event occurred. When the Gemara Masechta Ksubis says that we can't write a shtar on cheres, it's referring to shtar raya that we want should remain for a long time. But here, the shtar kedushin, which we only need for a moment to affect the kedushin, may be written on cheres. Continues the Braisa, Abish Ein Bashar Pruta, even though this shtar isn't worth a pruta, for as the Rishonim explain, once the shtar is worth a pruta, the halacha would be that the kedushin, that's kedusha kesef, we don't have to speak about kedusha shtar. If you use the words betcha b'kudashesli, betcha muresesli, betcha lila into, in all these situations, hareza m'kudashes, the woman is m'kudashes. Ask the Gemara, Moskva Rav Zeir ben Amel, Halo Domi Hashtara L'Shtar Zvini, this shtar is not similar to all the other documents that affect a sale, because when a seller sells a property and he uses a shtar, Hashem Baloch is the Meicha Kosev Loi Sada Mechurloch, the seller writes the words, I'm selling you this property. Whereas Hocha, in the case of a shtar kedushin, Baal Kosev, it's the husband that writes the words Bitcha Mekudeshesli. And as we explained earlier, the relationship of the husband-wife is the relationship that the wife is the seller, she's selling herself to the husband who's the buyer. So shouldn't we be consistent in the way shtaros are written? And just like by stay mecher, the husband writes, so too the seller writes, so too by shtar kedushin, it should be the wife, the seller, writing the shtar. And as the Rishonim point out, why is the Gemara using stay mecher as the prototype for shtar kedushin? Stay mecher Shtar Mecher, we learn Shtar Kedushin from Shtar Get. So Rishonim explain that actually a stay, the Gemara is making two points. Number one, even if we're learning that Shtar Kedushin is effective, and the way we learn it is from a Shtar Get, certainly it has to have the concept of Shtarus and the validity of Shtarus. And if Shtarus have to be written by a seller, this Shtar should also be written by a seller. But furthermore, Taisus, as the Mashah explains, Taisus says as follows. By a Get, it's really the seller who writes the Get. Because the husband, when he writes a get to his wife, is, so to speak, selling her back to herself. So even if we use get as the model, it should be the wife writing the Shtar Kedushin, because she's the seller, just like by a get, the husband writes the get because he's the seller. In fact, Tosafot's question is, why doesn't the Gemara ask the question on Shtar Kedushin from a get, which, as we said, is the source for the effectiveness of Shtar Kedushin, rather than ask the question from Steinmecher? So Taisus answers that truthfully it would be a very good kasha if we ask the kasha from Get. The reason the Gemara avoids asking the question from Get, because by Get, it's actually the husband that writes the Get. And by Shtar Kedushin, it's the husband that writes the Shtar Kedushin. So the difference between the Shtar Kedushin and other Shtaros is not that well obvious and not that well pronounced as it is when we distinguish between a Shtar Kedushin and other Shtaros. So why, ask the Gemara, is the Shtar Kedushin written by the husband and not written by the wife, the seller, or the Rava? Because we always have to look in the Pasuk. Hasa minyana dekra, v'hacha minyana dekra. We have to look at the Pesukim. Hasim Ksif, when we speak about a Shtamacher, the Torah uses the words, U'machar mechuzasai, he sells. So the Torah speaks from the perspective of the seller. Hacha, however, when we speak about Kedushin, Ksif ki'ikach. But Baal Torah Rechmana, the Torah speaks about the perspective from the husband. In fact, the Rishonim asked, Isn't this answer obvious? This pasuk of Ki Yitach is the pasuk that we've been using throughout the Masechta so far to teach us all of the halachas of Kedushin. Why would we think differently? So the Rishonim answer that the Gemara and the Havmina assumed that the pasuk of Ki Yitach is only referring to Kedusha Kesef. There, certainly, it's the husband who has to give the Kesef. But maybe when we refer to Shtar Kedushin, there we should follow the model of other Shtaros, and it should be the seller, meaning the wife, to write the Shtar. Says the Gemara, no, the Ki Yitach even refers to the technicality of how Kedushin is affected. We can learn from the word Ki Yitach. Ask the Gemara, Hosunami, regarding Shtar Mecher, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Sodos Bekesef Yitnu. So we see the Torah speaks about Shtar Mecher from the perspective of the buyer. And it says the Gemara, Kribe, don't read the word Yitnu, which is the perspective of Yitnu, of the buyer. Rather, pronounce the word Yaknu. Sodos Bekesef, fields were sold Yaknu, from the perspective of the seller. So we see that we always look at the perspective of the seller. Ask the Gemara, my Tama Krispa Yaknu, what forced you to change the pronunciation? We always pronounce the word Sodas Bekesef Yiknu, and now we change the pronunciation because Mishum Niksev Mocher, because we have Sukkim that seem to contradict each other. One pasuk speaks about Mocher, the perspective of the seller. If the other pasuk says Yiknu, the perspective of the buyer, we have contradictory approaches, and that's why we change the word. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, because we have this question regarding Shtar Kedushin, don't pronounce the word Ki Yikach, rather pronounce it Ki Yakach, the Ksiv, as Biti Nisanti L'Shazah, just like the Torah speaks about the perspective of Asbiti, the perspective of the wife, by Kedushin, in that pasuk, you have a problem Ki Yikach, don't have a problem with Ki Yikach, change the Ki Yikach to Ki Yakach. So So if so, the Gemara's question is, we will have psukim, all the psukim we will have, will all indicate, both by mecher and both by kedushin, that it's always the seller's obligation to write the shtar, and therefore the seller of a field or any property writes the shtar, and similarly the seller, meaning the wife, writes the shtar kedushin. Says the Gemara, Ela Marava, Hilchos in the New. The halachas of who writes the shtar are all halachas of Moshe Sinai, and all these psukim as Mechun Rabbanu Akra were just asmachta. So ask Tosfos, if we're establishing now that that shtar kedushin is effective, we know from a halachah of Moshe Sinai, so why, as we have discussed, and we'll actually discuss later in our shiur again, that we know that a shtar kedushin is effective because the Torah says v'yotzeh v'haisa, why do we need v'yotzeh v'haisa? We can learn it from this pasuk of, we can learn from this halacha of Moshe Sinai. So Taisha says a number of tirutzim. One Taisha says is that the halacha of Moshe Sinai only speaks about a shtar mecher. The halacha of Moshe Sinai doesn't speak about shtar kedushin. Shtar kedushin we need the yotzeh v'haisa to teach us. That's one teretz. Another teretz, Taisha says, that the psukim are only psukim nach, and therefore we need our halacha of Moshe Sinai, the psukim by shtar mecher, a psukim nach, and that's why we need our halacha of Moshe Sinai. But then Taisha says another teretz, that when the Gemara here uses the words halachal mashim hilchasa, it doesn't really mean the traditional definition of hilchasa of halachal mashim Sinai. What it means is hilchasa, that this is the minog, this was the custom generation after generation. And there's a machlokes ha'achronim, how to understand what Tosfos means when he says hilchas medina, that this was the minog for generations. Rabbi Chanan explains, as the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Metzia, that there's something called kinyan susma. Kinyan susma means that any type of kinyan that has become prevalent, has become acceptable, that affects a kinyan, that is considered a valid kinyan in halacha. That's why a handshake is considered a valid form of kinyan. Says Rabbi Chanan, that's what Tosfos means here too. That this has become the minig, that this is the way Kinyanei shtar affected, and it works because the kinyan is small. The Dvar Avram, the Kovner Rav, explains it differently. He explains that what minig means is that since we see for generations that this is the way shtaros are written, it must be that is the way the Torah told us to do it, because if we see that Klal Yisrael is acting in a certain way for many generations, it must be that's the way it's supposed to be. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Kosovo Amar Al-Kharis, if somebody wrote on a piece of paper or on earthenware, Abish Omba Shavapruta, even though that piece of paper doesn't have a Shavapruta, Bitcham Kudashisli, Bitcham Muresisli, Bitcha Lila Intu, Bein Ayide Avia, Bein Ayide Atzma, whether the father accepts the piece of paper, or whether the girl herself accepts the piece of paper, Mekadeshis Medatoi, if the father's consent is here, we have a Kedushin, however, for Hushla Bagra, provided that she is not yet a Bogeris. Because once a girl is Bogeris, she's completely out of the jurisdiction of a father, and there it's between her and her husband, and the father doesn't play a role. There are two interesting machlokes rishonim in understanding this Gemara. One machlokes rishonim is when our Gemara says that as long as the father consents, the girl can accept the Kedushin herself. Which girl are we referring to? All Rishonim agree that we're referring to a girl who's a Nara. Because a girl who's a Nara, even though halachically she's still under the jurisdiction of a father, the halacha is that since she's already over Bas Mitzvah, she's capable to act as a shliach on behalf of her father to accept the Kedushin. The Machlokes Rishonim is regarding a Ketana. If a Ketana, who has the consent of a father, can accept the Shtar Kedushin. In the opinion of the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Rosh, is that a Ketana also can accept the Kedushin. Because at the end of the day, she's the one that's becoming Mekudeshes, so we don't need to rely on Shlichus. However, the Ritva disagrees. Ritva says that here it has to work with a lundus of Shlichus, and only a Nara is capable to be a Shliach, not a Ketana. But now there's another Machlokes Rishonim. Exactly what is the terminology of the Shtar that the girl who's still a Nara, or perhaps even a Ketana, receiving? The Ramban says it depends who actually is receiving the Shtar. If the girl is receiving the Shtar, then the wording should be used Harei Ak Mekudeshesli. If it's the father who's receiving the Shtar, then it should say Bitcha Mekudeshesli. The Ritva says that even if it's the father who's receiving the Kedushin, since ultimately it's the girl who's getting married, so therefore it could always say, even when the father's receiving the Shtar, Harei Ak Mekudeshesli. On the other hand, the Ram says, since the entire ability to affect Kedushin, in this case, where the girl is a Nara, or certainly where she's a Ketana, emanates from the father's strength, and therefore, in all circumstances, says the Ram, it has to say, Bitcha Mekudeshesli. Kosovo Nara Ochai Earth, continues Rava, Abishem B'Shava Pruta, Harei At Mekudeshesli, Harei At Lila Intu, Harei At Mekudeshesli, Mekudeshes, Bein Ha'idei Avira, Bein Dei Atzma. It makes a difference if it's the father who accepts it, or the girl who accepts it, Medata, as long as the girl is consents to receiving the Kedushin. For Ushabagra, this we're referring to when she's a Bulgaris. For as we said a moment ago, once the girl becomes a Bulgaris, only she has the ability to affect the Kedushin, and it's her consent which is crucial. If Shtar Eirusin was written Shlo Lishma, Mahu, is it effective or not? What is the Gemara Shaila? Havayasli Yitzias Makshinim, do we compare the Shtar Kedushin to the Shtar Get? Amar, and just what we learned, Yitzia being Lishma, as we learned so many times in the Sechta Gittin, a Shtar Get must be written Lishma. Af Havaya being Lishma, so too must the Shtar Kedushin be written Lishma. Or Dilma Havayas LaHadadim Makshinim. Or perhaps we compare the different forms of Kedushin to each other. And Mahavai the Kesev Labin Lishma. Certainly Kedusha Kesev don't require Lishma. As Rishonim explained, nobody would suggest that money that's used for Kesev Kedushin has to be minted Lishma for Kedushin. Similarly, we'll say Af Havaya the Shtar Labin Lishma. Similarly, we'll say that the Havaya of Shtar Kedushin doesn't require Lishma. Says the Gemara Bas the Bar Yehuda Pashta, after the question was asked and was answered, Havaya Yitzi Makshinan, the Torah clearly compares Kedushin to Gittin, and the Dabakra to Yatsa Vahaisa, the Torah clearly compares the two. And the Mefarshim discuss to what degree does the Gemara mean when we compare Kedushin to Gittin. And the question has relevance both Lekula and Lechumra. For one discussion that the Rishonim discuss is, we know, the Gemara taught us in the Sechta Gittin, that a Shtar Get, a Get, can be written on something that's Asa Bahanoa. Because the point of the Get is just that the husband give the Get to the wife, doesn't have to be more than that. So the question is that the Shtar Kedushin also could be written on something that's Asa B'Hanoa. The choice of the Malon seems to say, based on the Gemara that we just learned, that if the Torah compares Shtar Kedushin to Shtar Get, if a Shtar Get can be written on something that's Asa B'Hanoa, so too a Shtar Kedushin. However, the many Paiskin and Ramah actually brings two opinions, say that no, a Shtar Kedushin affects more, and it has to be something that's not Asa B'Hanoa. another question along the same line is that we learned if somebody puts a get on the floor and he tells his wife, Tli gitech malgabe karka, pick your get up, it would not be effective. For the Torah said, for nosan biyada, he has to give her the get. What would be the din by shtar kedushin? If the wife picks up the shtar kedushin, will it be a valid kedushin or not? And most interesting question is that we know when we learned Masechta Gittin, we discussed many times that a get has to have the husband and wife's name spelled correctly, spelled written as they are used in the locale where the get was actually written. We discussed if the husband and wife are called by different names in different places, many complicated halachas. And the question is, what is the din by shtar kedushin? Does the shtar kedushin also need to contain very carefully the names of the husband and wife? Actually, the Rishonim want to say that it really depends on a shayla that we discussed in Masechta Gittin, if the requirement of the shtar get to have these names written is a deraisa or the rabbanan. If we say that it's a requirement midaraisa, then the Rishonim want to suggest that a shtar kedushin will have the same din. If, on the other hand, it's only midarabanan by get, then by kedushin we can be more lenient and will not require the name, the actual names in the get, in the shtar kedushin. Itma. Says the Gemara, Kosmo l'shma, if the shtar was written l'shma, have the shlomo data, without her knowledge. There's a question amongst the Mefarshim, what does it mean here when it says shlomo data? Some suggest shlomo data means that she wasn't aware of it. Some say that, but if it was written stam, without any intention, it would be fine. Others disagree. Rav Ravina Mekadeshes, Rav Papa Rav Shravya Eile Mekadeshes. Ama Papa, Eim Etamdet Hu, Vem Etamdet Hi. I'll explain their position and I'll explain my position. Eim Etamdet Hu, I'll explain their position. Tiksir V'yotzer V'hoysa. The Torah says V'yotzer V'hoysa. Makish Havayel Yitzir. The Torah compares Havayel to Yitzir. Ma Yitzir, L'shma, V'shlo L'data. We know that a get has to be written l'shma, but it doesn't require her consent. As we learned, the get can be written by karcha. Af havayu nami, similarly by a kedushin, as long as it's written l'shma, even if it's written shalom adata, it's fine. Then the time that he, where Papa explains his own reasoning, the yotz of a haisa, makish havayu tzia. Ma yitzia, just like by a get, beaten das makna, we have to have the husband who writes the get be aware of what he's doing and be to his das. Af havaya, as we explained earlier in our shir, in a kedushin, it's the wife who plays the role of the seller. She, so to speak, selling herself to her husband, bein das makna, and we certainly need her consent and awareness. Meisvei asked the Gemara on the opinion of Rav and Ravina, and Kosrin, we need the consent of both parties. My love, doesn't this mean shtar erusin v'nesuin mamish? Doesn't this actually mean shtar erusin and nesuin? And here we see that we need the consent of both. Does machlokes rishonim? What does shtar nesuin mean? Many rishonim say that shtar nesuin means the ksuba. However, Ritva questions, how can we say that it means the shtar ksuba? The shtar ksuba is written on behalf of the wife. If the husband is obligating himself to the wife, why would we need her consent? And therefore, the Ritva says that shtar nesuin means also, as the Gemara says in a moment, the shtar psikta. Certain documents were drafted at the time of Nisuin between the husband's side and the wife's side, and that's what the Gemara means, Shtar Nisuin. So the Gemara, no. The Braisa, when it speaks about Shtar Erisin, doesn't mean actually the Shtar Kedushin. It means Shtar Psikta. What they agree to give what each soul agrees to give. Ukrav gidla merav, namrav gidla merav. Kamat nois labincha. The father would say, how much are you giving to your son? The son's father would say, how much are you giving to your son? Kach v'kach, labitcha. And then the grandfather, they would ask, how much are you giving? Kach v'kach. Under the kitchen, if they get married after that, kanu. Even though there was no specific kinyan to these obligations, the obligations are binding obligations. Hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam amira, they are considered nikna, just with the amira, just with the verbal obligation. And there's a machlokes why here verbal obligation is adequate. We don't need to have a formal kinyan as we normally do. The Miri suggests that this is a takanas chazal, that a verbal obligation ought to be enough. The Chazanish says that really this works with a similar concept to Kedusha Kesef. For what happens by Kedusha Kesef? By Kedusha Kesef, one side gives to the other side. Here too, they're each obligating each other, so it has a similar concept to Kedusha Kesef. The Chazanish, Rabbi Chanan has a different approach. Rabbi Chanan's approach is, what is the concept of kinyan? We speak many times about kinyanim. What is the halachic concept of a kinyan? So he says, kinyan means gemiras das, that they've accepted upon themselves that this is what they want to do. Says Rabbi Chanan, gemiras das we could have even without a formal kinyan. In a case where we see that the two sides agree, and then they go to a wedding, that is the proof that we have gemiras das, and that is the greatest proof that we have a kinyan here. However, Tosfos does qualify that not in all circumstances do we say, hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam amira. Tosfos says, it's only if they got married immediately after these conditions were set, not if they wait in between. Furthermore, the Beit Tam says it's only by a first marriage where there's a lot of excitement and the secure of hadas, that's when we have this thing of hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam amira. And furthermore, the Rishonim point out, it's only when it's the fathers who are negotiating. But let's say we're dealing with Rachman Tzlan with Yisoma, and it's her mother or her brothers who are negotiating, we don't have the din of hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam amira. Furthermore, the Poskim point out that because this is a mutual agreement, we can't have a situation that, let's say, the boy's father will tell his father, you know what, I'm moichel what you obligated yourself. Or the kala will tell her father, I forgive you for your obligation. Since it's not only the chassan and kala who are party, it's the chassan and the kala. The Rishonim, the Paiskim also discuss, can fathers obligate their children? So certainly all the Paiskim say that the father cannot obligate a son. So the father doesn't have that kind of jurisdiction over the son. The question is, can the father obligate the kala? And the Paiskim want to draw a distinction between if the kala is a nara or not. Our Gemara says, hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam ba'amira. So I saw that the Pnei Menachem says, now we could understand why when we have an engagement, it's called a vote. A vote means amira, what people say. Hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam ba'amira, because amira represented when the two sides agree to get married to each other. But then I saw the Mefarshim, the Dr. Tshuva says this, that if we have kama atanoisin labincha, that if the father obligates himself, and he fulfills his obligation, and the girl's parents obligate themselves, and they fulfill their obligation, hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam, this marriage will last. When the two parties enter the marriage with honest and respectable approach and intentions, hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam, this marriage will last. Another pshat that I saw is, we know that the Gemara says that Abam Yom Koyim Yitzirus Avlad, the 40 days before the child is born, they say Bas Ploni Laploni, they decree who's going to marry. When we see that everything is going the way it's supposed to be, hein hein dvarim ha'nikdam amira, this is clearly a proof that this was a marriage that was decreed upon already min ha-shamayim. And that's in fact why the Tanoim begin with the words hamagid nereshis achris, that we're referring back to the reshis, to when these children were actually conceived, that it was decreed that they would marry each other. We learned that kedushin are effective through bia. Ask the Rav Nolan, Amar Vud, Amar Brech, Amar Kro, Buras Baal. Menamich Nas Labal Aydei Bi'ila. That he becomes a husband through Bi'ila. Amar Rav Zala Rav Vua, Amar Rav Shlokesh Rav Yechanan, Kru Zun Shishon Rabbi, is what Rabbi taught us not nice. We learned earlier in our Masechta that how do we know that kedushin bia are effective? Because the Torah says, Uvala Melamed Shemitnes Bebiya. Answers the Gemara, Imi Hashem, if we have only that pasuk, having been Adam Kaddish Vadabar, that you need both Kedusha, Kesef, and Bia. Because that's what the Torah says, Kikach Ish, which we said refers to Kedusha Kesef, Ubala, which refers to Kedusha Bia. Kamash 1, that's why we need Buras Baal, that Bia alone affects Kedusha. The Mefarshim discuss if the din would indeed be that we need both Kesef and Bia, how would it work? So I saw a number of pshatim. The Machesha seems to learn that the Kedushin would begin with the giving of the Kesef and then completed with the Bia. Another explanation that I saw from Rashmi Rozovsky is that the Kenyan, there's two parts to the Kedushin. The Kenyan would happen through a Kedushin, through a Kesef, but the fact that she should be considered an Eishes Ish, that would only happen through the Bia. Maskler of Abba Bamamo, if we're suggesting that we need to have both in Cain, the Torah discusses about a Narum Marasa. The Torah discusses if a girl is a Narum who is at Erisin, there's a Chiv Skila if she has adultery. What would be the case? Either Kat Agdish Vadabal Bulihi, because the din of Narum Marasa only applies by a Basula. Either Agdish Vleibal, if there was only Kedushin, but there was no Bia, we're saying now, the Rav Klumli, it's meaningless if there is no Bia, says the Gemara, Amur Rabban Kamei Dabaya, Mishkachas Lo, it would be Kigon Shabar La Orish Lo Gedaka. He had Kedushin, he had Bia with her in an unnatural manner. That would be a situation that she's Nara Hamarasa, that had both Kedushin and Bia, but she's still a Psula. On Abaya, says Abaya, there's a machlokes. If a girl only had a kibish like a darker, is she still a psul or not? Says the Gemara, Akan lo pligi Rabbi Rabbanan. That machlokes that we're going to discuss between Rabbi and Rabbanan is El Ba'achar, if someone besides her husband had with a kibish like a darker, if she's still considered a psul or not. Avabal, in this case where it's the husband who had Bia Shloka Darka, Dibahakal, everybody agrees, and Baalah Shloka Darka Asobula. So we're back to where we started. How can we have a situation that of a Narum Marasa, who's a Basula, and therefore Schayiv Skila, that's still a Basula, if you have that Bia to be considered Marasas? Says the Marmahi, where do we have this Machlokes? The Tanya Bala Yudanoshim, if 10 men had relations with a Nara Murasa, who's a Psula, the Dani Psula, Kula Baskila. Rabbi says, Omarani, and we've discussed previously that Yosef Engel says that when Rabbi uses the word Omarani, it's like saying Nira La Nia Stati. We know that Rabbi was the great Onof, and therefore he used the wording of Omarani. Kula Baskila. They're all Chayiv Skila because she's still considered a Basula. Rabbi Omar Niyarisha Baskila because she was then a Basula. The Kula Mechanic, but the rest she's not considered any more a Basula. But by her husband, everybody agrees she's still a Basula. Omar Nachmi Yitzchak, Mishkachas Law, there is a way how she could be a Nara Hamaresas with still being a Basula. Since a get has the ability to completely terminate a marriage, that's why if I only had the pasuk, I would think that kedusha bia required kedusha kesef to be done before them. That's why we need bulaspal. The bia is effective on its own. Rabbi Yochanan Hayibala, so that he learns it out from the words of Bula's Baal. My Hayibala, why does he use the word Bala to teach us? Hayibala, to teach us Zunit Nisubia, that a wife is Niknabia, then Amravriya Niknisubia. But Amravriya cannot be brought through Bia. We would think that perhaps we should learn a Kavachar from Yavam. If Yavam cannot become the wife of the Yavam through Kesef, Niknas Bia does become his wife through Bia. Zu Amavriya Shaniknas Bekesef ain't a din Shaniknas Bia. Says, what kind of Kavachar is that? Mali Yavam, she came to cook of Armegas. Yavam already has Zika. And that's why B is adequate, says the Gemara. Sagdai Tchemina, a different reason why you think that B is affected by Amavriya. However, curse of Amacheris Yikachla, the Torah speaks about if the owner of the Amavriya takes another wife, Hikisha curse of Acheris. The Torah is comparing the Amavriya to the other wife of this Adam. Ma'acheris mitn b'biya, just like the other wife comes his wife through Bia, Amavriya mitn b'biya, Kamash Ron, but not. That's why we need the Pasuk Ubala. That only a wife becomes a wife through Bia, not Amavriya. The Rebbe, who used the words Ubala to teach us that Bia is effective to make a Kedushin, Haisra Manola, where we learn this thing, that Amavriya cannot be nicknessed through Bia, says the Mar Inke Lichtav Kro Uva'al. The Torah could have just written the word Uva'al. My Uva'alah. Where do I use the word Uva'ala? Shmamina Tati, to teach us both that Kedusha and Bia are effective, but Amavriya cannot be nicknessed with Bia. Ask the Gemara, will Rava, Dharmabaya, or according to Rava, Dharmabaya hang Asbili, Kikich Ish Uva'ala, to teach us Kedusha, I'm assuming the Bia have a Kedusha. Only Kedusha that can lead up to a Bia, to a legal Bia, are a Kedusha. However, Kedushin, shame is soon a Bia. A Kedushin that cannot lead up to a legal Bia. Live Kedushin. What is such an example? The case would be that if somebody did Kedushin with one of two sisters, and he doesn't remember which sister he was Mekadosh. Since he came to Bia with either of these women, because the other woman may be Achois Ishtoi, it's Kedushin, shame is soon a Bia. Ma'ikal Meimah. How can we learn these other halachas from Uvala when we need Uvala to teach us this then? Says the Gemara, Im kain michta kra'oi bala. Why does the Torah use the Uvala? To teach us Shnamina Kula, to teach us all three dinim, that Kedushin can be effective through Bia, and Amavriya cannot be brought through Bia, and furthermore, that only Kedushin, I'm assuming will be have a Kedushin, Kedushin Sh'ayim assume will be have a Kedushin.